Let's go down to the Urban Homestead, Pasadena by the freeway. Right down there on the Urban Homestead, Jules and his family are working away. Come on down to the farm in the city, back to the future, back to the plan. Right down there on the Urban Homestead, loving the life back into the land.
Oh, ooh, ooh, help the garden grow.
Singing,
oh, ooh, ooh,
we've got to help the garden grow.
Welcome to the Urban Homestead Radio. We are your hosts, Anise,
Justin,
Jordan. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Today we are joining you from inside the house because it's actually a May gray day, overcast and drizzly, and it's might cold, so we're nice and warm in the house today. So, Justin, you want to tell our listeners what actually happened today? A lot of things.
It's been a while, but we have a film crew from France 5 PBS station in France here for 3 days, and this was day one. And they have a good obsession with food and eating, but lots of close-ups of us.
It's been a while since we had a documentary crew out, and this is our first one without Dad, so a little bit exhausting because it was Dad would handle the
philosophy,
main questions like behind and the history, and we were auxiliary showing the stuff, and now it's
showing it in action, and Dad would sit there and interview for hours.
So this was a little bit challenging, and handling everything else, the orders, the, you know, having to work, and just getting back in the groove of things. Like I said, it's been a while for many things.
Usually they don't let stay that long.
Well, this is because it's a probably major documentary. So, yeah. And then the weather went from, what is it, like summer 90, and now it's like May gray, so it was actually drizzling this morning, and the sweater weather and long sleeves and beanies.
It's
and
good for the garden and transplanting, but
it's a shock for the system.
Yeah, and then they'll be here tomorrow, and because they wanted to show the farm boxes.
Life on the homestead. It's as Annie said, it has been a while.
Yeah, so the film crew, they actually flew in from France to be here for the next 3 days.
It's going to air sometime in October.
Yeah.
October 8th,
something like that. So.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But
the whole thing's not about us. It's interviewing other people, too. But
that are part of the food movement, organic food movement,
What he said, what was the thing he said? He probably found us? He just said, were you there?
I don't think I was there.
I was there. He said that they were thinking of a concept for this food on this documentary on food. They were thinking, and they wanted to find some. I think it was an American example of sustainable living, and they searched it on a search engine, and he was like, "There you are, the biggest thing out there." I was like, "That's okay." I think his words, and I was like, "Okay." But the thing is, he found our website and I mentioned some other things we had online he hadn't seen, so I was like, oh, okay. He said, there's not much videos of you guys out there. I was like,
We're supposed to send in some pictures and
Dropbox. Last year we got a little busy and stuff, and then ever since Dad's death, we've been behind. So it's a little hard to, you know, show a lot of things that we used to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're not doing them anymore, it's just there's a gap.
Backlog, yeah.
Like, for instance, when you the winemaking, I used to do it regularly, and there's a gap, and I haven't checked on my wines. I kind of just left them back there, and I know some of them are, you know, not up to my quality, and they're like, well, let's pour out wine and show it, and I'm just like, this isn't the best stuff I made, and I'm like, it does a huge gap in a lot of the stuff we've done in the canned goods. We're at the end of the canned goods, and they wanted to see the stockpiles we used to have. Mm-hmm. And it was just a little bit of a gap.
Well, actually, because of the canned goods, number one, the drought, so I canned less last
fruit
year.
Fruit was hard to find.
Because fruit was hard to find. And then, so whatever was canned last year was already used up, so the stockpile is not that.
It's not, like, we used to open the camp cupboards, and it would be, like, four shelves full of canned goods, and they generally asked for that, and it was like, we've been in a drought. I think fruit was, even when we tried to source it from local farmers, that, like, seconds, the price was not conducive to actually canning it. Mm-hmm.
No, and then,
so to explain that, but they knew all about California's drought, and they knew it broke. I mean, they would like, they knew all the specs on the California drought, and I said it broke, but doesn't mean you're out of the woods.
Yeah. Well, we're back to normal rainfall, but we have a deficit of a couple of years.
It's years of drought.
Okay, and then because of the, we actually had a free weekend on Sunday. We did a really deep cleaning of everything that's we've fallen behind since probably winter, so finally getting around to, you know, and like I said, maintaining the homestead is, I think, one of the
hardest jobs
that
takes
because
up
it
all
just,
the time.
Yeah,
it's not the gardening, it's not the feeding the chickens, it's cleaning the homestead. That's
cleaning the buckets, cleaning the coop, cleaning the sweeping,
and all the accoutrements or the tools that go with it, like the trellises,
the hoops or the wires for the
group. Tarps, the trellises. It's just you look at them, it's like
so it was never ending. So we did that, and then the garden is growing like crazy. So it's actually filling in. It's looking really nice. So
still a transfer though over to summer stuff, even though it is cooler.
A friend came over and started squealing. She saw tomatoes in the back.
She was asking for your soil
tomatoes
blocks.
And what?
The tomatoes.
She wanted your soil blocks too.
I have to find the. I had to plant those. They're way.
No, the ones by the coop. Mm-hmm. She just
I thought you meant the ones in the soil.
Well, besides that, then she squealed again on the other side. But
yeah. So on the to-do list, I want to. I got the compost back because, like I said, slid backwards last 4 months just because of circumstances. So getting, you know, starting to tighten up composting, bring back the compost, let's get that set up.
The production back up.
Yeah, and then the worm bin, getting that, so we'll probably clean that out and renew that and start doing that again. Just like I said, you slip so far, like 4 months seems like a long time, and then it's like, oh wow, things like Joy said, the meads and things
five,
and
five. I mean, everything is there's a huge gap, and I was just thinking, I have all these wines and I didn't even bottle them, so I mean, some of them went bad, I'm sure.
And then I was like, oh yeah, I gotta start making my own granola again. Oh, hey, make a list, get the bulk items.
I got the sauerkraut crocks,
yogurt
crocks, they're out. Yes. I scrubbed up the yogurt thing.
So just catching up is just, then it not doesn't seem enough time in the day. It's like the days over.
What do they got lined up for tomorrow? Orders?
A film crew.
Where they're gonna film?
Chef O'Neill's gonna come in, and then he's gonna make some food from what he picked from the garden.
Did he get an order in?
Yeah, he did. So you can check that out.
And then also, I think they're gonna spend most of the time, I think, trying to get shots of the garden because of the weather was bad. They didn't get, not, it wasn't bad, but they want to make beautiful, they keep saying beautiful shots. So hopefully the sun comes out and then they'll do a lot of what I call B-roll, where they just go around and look at all the prettiness. And so hopefully I'll get, you know, they can do that and then I'll get some of my other stuff done. But
probably, 10 minutes if we're lucky with the
piece. Yeah, with all the things. I mean, 3 days, 10 minutes, you'll be a blip on there.
Anything interesting that came up this week from the last podcast? It seems like a blur. I don't even remember. Oh, chickens. Are you going to get baby chickens from, or chicks? Are we going to do that?
It's, I don't know. It depends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends. We'll see what happens with, you know, a friend of mine. We might, you know, go in, but I don't know at the moment what happens with the space.
All right, so, and then like I said, it's been a while since we were interviewed. So what was, I think that this one was a documentary because other ones would have been TV shows like Sundance and things. These were really
We had Brazil, but I think it was just a couple minutes.
Yeah,
but.
So this was really in-depth, and then the language barrier was a little...
Dad always had enjoyed talking to the foreign media because they understood where we were... They understood better than American media where we were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad would hit it off with the Brazil guy who was here for a couple hours.
Yeah,
it's Chinese, emotional. The Chinese was there for a while. This one, yeah.
He's trying to. Mm-hmm. I would say Dad was so good eloquent at talking his philosophy, and it's not that we don't know his philosophy, but it's he had it like where he could communicate it well, and so you're trying to. Talk about your philosophy and your dreams. This morning he talked to me when I was doing the animals, and you know, it's like your philosophy, and I said it, and then it was like, you know, trying to pick up Dad's at the same time, talk about you, but talk about the project. It's, you know, usually you would just say, oh, your beliefs about the animals, and but then you had to actually carry Dad's side a little bit more, and like the goal and the vision. And he said, you know, will you be getting any more animals? I just laughed, and I pointed around to the corner. I said, do you see any room? You know, and I just, do you see any room? He's like, you pretty much filled up in all the... I said, yeah, it's corner to corner. I mean, you were maxed. I mean...
Yeah, it's
maxed.
And then kickstart the workshop series for the summer, you think?
It's up to you. You gotta figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
But
what would be the first one? Would you have, like, chickens? Speaking of animals?
It would be a little hard for me to do workshops. I'm not doing so, you know, emotionally, mentally, but the easiest one would be doing the chicken one. Simply, it usually meats would be easiest when I had them all, you know, labeled and ready to go, but chicken would be definitely the fastest one I could put up right away.
Yeah.
Because
I know people want to learn, so we haven't.
And do jam? Can
jam, it? Yeah, so...
It depends on time.
Yeah, and then we had the farm to table kids on Friday. That was fun. They had their potluck, and they brought food.
A lot of food.
Yeah, they brought a lot of food. This was like, they really did a good job, and some actually made the recipes from the classes. So some of the kids took the time and they made recipes that we had featured at the classes. And.
There should be some snippets into a podcast too. Yeah,
special.
Some little, I think it was recorded.
And then we're trying to get back, like I said, trying to get back in routine, trying to get
Friday dinner.
Yeah, Friday night dinners back in order. So we used to do, well, we'd have Friday night dinners were fun. It was like for about 5-6 years there, we would just say, oh, who do you invite? And we'd go through our list of friends and say, random friend. And then we invite them over for a Friday night dinner. Yeah. And so...
On unlucky day.
we cooked for them,
The one time we invited some single bachelor guy. For some reason, I guess you don't even ask, but if you invite somebody over, you don't ask if they're on any special diet. He was on a 30-day fast.
So we had all this dinner...
made for everybody.
And he shows up, he's like, well, I'm on a fast. And we're like, ooh.
Then why we invite you over for dinner?
Did you not hear? He goes, no, I came to dinner. To what? You know, I'm happy to be here. And I'm like.
But it's like, but we have to eat in front of you.
He's like, no, it's great. It's fine. I want to be here with you guys. It was so awkward.
Liquid diet? Was he on a liquid diet?
Yeah, but he actually knew it was dinner, but he didn't care.
But I was like,
he came to be with us, and we had to eat dinner in front of him.
I don't know if that was our fault. We failed to ask, are you
eating? Well, no, he was okay, yeah.
Well, it was the first time you come over to dinner and say, are you eating?
Yeah. Well, he always had these diets he tried. But that was... It was like, oh.
Yeah, so that was... We get...
I think it was great.
We set out the tables and... Set the table really nice, and
I'm not sure if I can do that for a while.
China.
I'm being a little lazy these days. It's just like, fine, do what you wish. I used to do the whole, you know, elegant dining thing. It was kind of
candles.
Well, it was my belief. If I had something, which we did inherit some china and some silverware from my grandmother, I have this belief. If I have something nice, to use it. I don't stick it up on the wall and never use it. It's if it's nice, I'm using it.
Yeah. So.
And so I did that every Friday night. I'd bring out the good china, the good crystal, and my dad has this silverware, which it's a Belgian tradition when I'm not sure if it's a boy born, but when a child is born, all the relatives buy a piece of silverware. Mm-hmm. And every birthday, as he grows older, all the relatives buy a piece of silverware. And then at his marriage, they give him the set. So Dad had that when he was married. They gave him the set of silverware that, you know, when he was born, the ones and relatives in Belgium. And it's a tradition in Belgium. So, you know, we had it, and it's nice. And I just have this belief where having cleaned out people's houses, like I had a lot of elderly friends, and some of them would pass, and you'd get this stuff that was still wrapped. And then I said, that was never going to happen to me. So everything nice I have, I try to use, because I don't want to be one of those people where it's like something was left and never brought out. So some, yeah, my china is now chipped and everything, but it's used. Yeah, that's so why I do believe in that.
I think, and it's like I said, nice to start doing that again. So we started about a month and a half ago, started saying, hey, you know, come over for Friday night dinners, and starting to try to kickstart that tradition back. And, you know, after Dad's death, it's still...
Time's flying.
I know, time's flying so fast. It's like, oh, sorry, almost June. Half a year. So, try to figure out all that, what we want to do. People are asking us questions. You know, people are enjoying the videos and the stuff online, which is great. So, thank everybody for sharing. And hopefully they continue to share, because they'll... More people.
Launch in a month or so.
Yeah, launch in a month. So, so hopefully they're excited.
Are you excited?
I don't know. Am I excited? I don't know. You're listening to us.
Long day.
I know it's been a long day, so I'm just like rattling around in my brain. What's going on?
This is something we if people ask if we gotten used to media, we have been, and quite a lot. Mm-hmm. To this day, no.
I'm not used to it.
You put a camera in front of us, and we're just like, okay. You know, and I was actually thinking about that. Do I like media? I don't. I like to show
The stuff.
This is, you know, it's beautiful out there. And you know, I like to show it. I like to show off my animals. Me, not so much. I don't like to be in front of the camera. I just wish I could just, like, be the voice behind the camera, like, pointing out with the hand. No, we're not used to it. And there is something we often joke about, and before this film crew came out, we talked about it. There's something where the media loves to see us have dinner. They love to see us have dinner. It's like, it was almost, you could count on any, you know, big
dinner,
production. Dinner scene, and they want you to eat in front of a camera.
Well,
and generally, all your table manners are just completely gone. You're just like, do I even know how to eat? It's awkward. We do our best, but it's a trial to eat in front of a camera.
So, and then, you know, people say, oh, good, then why do you do it? Why do we do it? Why do we have these, you know, film crews or documentaries? And then, like I said, they find us, so it's not solicited or anything. They find us, they write us and say, hey. So we feel that it's, you know, in terms of just like our, if we have, you know, something we can share, we can.
It's almost an outreach.
It's outreach.
Dad considered it. You know, you could say one thing to one person.
Yeah, and this reaches out more.
So he would do media because he would say one thing to one person on camera, and it would go around the ward. And so when we had the Brazilian piece that came out, it really did a lot of. Reached Brazil, like all around. I mean,
huge
Brazil
following.
Was huge.
Huge
like he
following.
Went huge following. So he sat down for one guy in Brazil for 3 hours, and it completely transformed, I would say, Brazilian, because it was one of the biggest. I think it was one of the biggest channels in Brazil.
International.
And ever since then, like a huge Brazilian following. Like people did not, you know, actually realize that could happen. So that's how Dad saw it. He could say one thing to one person who came here, or he could say one thing to one person with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it was not like a ministry, but an outreach. Mm-hmm. He felt that's how he gave back to
people.
Earth care
ministry. Mm-hmm. You say it once and touching thousands of people, and it was So although it is somewhat work and throws our schedule off, it's mm-hmm. it's our carrying on the ministry to mm-hmm. Earth Care. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we do it.
And then, so that...
yeah, it just came to mind. This crew was very in-your-face camera. It was very extreme close-up. It's
artistic.
You have to, yeah, you do have to just shut off a part of your brain uh-huh. and pretend they're not there. It's something you learn, but I was surprised how close they got. And I think I was just, part of me was like wanting to walk away, and the other part's like, get it over with. Mm-hmm. Just do it and get it over with. And the other part's like, run. So yeah, this was camera was really close in the face, and
I hope it came out very yeah. Technique.
So yeah. You think, oh, I aced this camera, and then the next camera comes out, and you're completely thrown, because yeah. everyone has a different way of interviewing, a way of. And this one, this crew kind of threw me a little bit. I didn't quite know how to handle it. So hopefully. It'll be dubbed in French and make sense.
So anything that you fibbed or flubbed will be captioned
yeah.
in French. And it'll sound not awesome. Yeah.
Well, it was nice that, you know, there was a little bit of a French connection with them.
Yeah. And so I
French,
think
Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's going to air in Belgium, too, so that'd be nice. And reason, I don't know, it's in the... It's French. We're French blood. I mean, it's like they're
really enjoyed that cobbler. He was like, guys, yes. He likes his dessert. So I'm like, yeah, I can see.
We feed the.
He's a Frenchman.
Yeah. But because and talk about history again, Belgian French history. It's
genetic.
It's genetic. We feel like, hey, you know, we're it's really weird. We're comfortable with. And he, like I said, Mark, remember Mark from the other film's crew? He came in, he was like, you know, like a long-lost brother. And it was so bizarre. He just fit in. And
we actually
like,
met this French filmmaker. We met him in India at a film festival.
Showing our film,
Homegrown Revolution. Mm-hmm. He was showing his film. And we hit it off in India. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd stay up late at night just talking and...
Never met him before,
but it was like a brother.
I know.
And then he came out here, and we hit it off again.
No, Bill, he showed
up. He showed up.
Somehow they said they sent us an email.
They did not send us an email.
They show up on Friday night.
Which we're having.
Fortunately, we were having dinner. So mm-hmm. they pulled up, both camera guys and a friend of theirs showed up at Friday night dinner. So then
we stayed late up, and then I think we went goat walking with them, and then...
And he was shooting, they were making another film.
Another film.
With Ben Dennis.
And then which he aired here, for I think one of the four
quest
screens
for,
in
a
California.
Quest remaining
yeah.
in France.
And we stayed up late talking again. It's like, it's family. And he wants to bring us to France. He has, on footage, he has dad's last interview.
Video interview.
He has dad's last video interview, and he knows
that
he does.
That was done in... May or June.
Yeah,
year.
He knows, and he wants to do something with it, and he wants to bring
us,
Annie, Justin, and myself out to France or something. I mean, I know he's trying to work it out and funding and all that, so...
Did he publish Dad's piece?
I don't know. I know he's talking about wanting to do something, so I think he wants to do something special, but definitely he has to raise the funding because we can't... I'm not sure, but we really should follow up with that and see what's out there.
We met a lot of people traveling the world.
Oh, yeah, France is huge, yeah.
With their little film, 15-minute thing. So we went to Hokitika.
That's
saw the old homestead.
In New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Made the front page of the Hokitika Times.
Which is all like 5 pages now. No, it's like it's impressive.
And the house was there. Nisi remembers her bedroom.
That is weird.
The guy who owns it now remembers...
Buying it from Dad.
His parents bought it from Dad,
but he remembers them talking about... I think the crazy American. And then at the time, Dad, because it flooded, what happened was an old gold mining town, and they devoted the stream or the river or whatever that was, and the creek.
With pilings.
Yeah, with pilings. They devoted it so they could have this... City.
It's in the valley, like the Hogan
and, you know, nature wants to go back to where it was. So the creek kept jumping Dad didn't know that. Yeah, they were clear cutting above him, and Dad was seeing that there was, you know, New Zealand wasn't the paradise he thought it was. So to protect the house, he poured this, I think it's a 6-inch concrete footer that he was going to build a rock wall on top to protect. Hello, city life. High speed chase. He poured the 6-inch concrete wall. He was going to put rocks on top to keep the creek from jumping and flooding the house again. Mm-hmm. So we were in Hokitika visiting the guy who now owns the house.
It was actually Hokitika is the main thing.
Stafford.
Let's clarify that though.
It's Stafford. So we were in Stafford visiting the guy who now owns Dad's own old homestead, and he hadn't heard about Dad, and he knew that Dad. So he go visiting, and Dad mentions the creek and how he was trying to divert it, and the guy he just said, "That was you," and Dad goes, "What?" He goes, he and the guy, his roommate that were living there, they had seen this 6-inch bit of concrete, and the creek had just jumped right before we were there with another 60-year flood. 40-year flood. Dad had a 40-year flood, and when Dad left, then 40 years later, there was this flood. Right before we went back to New Zealand, that 40-year flood happened. And that 6-inch
wall saved
the house. And he says he and his the guy, the roommate, was saying how the 6-inch, somebody pulled the 6-inch and it saved the house. And they were just like, they realized that it had met the guy who had saved this house 40 years ago.
Well, the plan was to build a wall to divert the water.
Yeah, but the 6-inch just saved it, he said.
And the stuff in the house was ruined, but the house was still there.
Was Charlie Merriweather's kid?
Charlie was, not kid.
Nephew.
Yeah.
So that was funny to see that instant. I think I was there when I was watching it, and he just realized it was kind of like
the deja vu. Dad would always tell the stories about, I think, how he was building this wall to save the house. And, you know, you have it in your mind till then you actually see it. Never got past the wall stage, but it was a footer. Mm-hmm. But the guy recognized it saved the house. And that was Dad's intent to save the house.
Yeah.
But he moved out because it was flooded twice and then never flooded again until 40 years
later. Well, it makes sense, though. Dad, at that time, in talking to the guy later, he realized that they had diverted the creek. There's no way you're going to stop it from flooding.
No, but it would jump back.
Yeah, it would just cut. Nature goes back to where it was.
Oh, it kept jumping.
Trying to go back to his old path.
And then he saw the
butcher shop
that Dad did, and then the town hall that was next door that he caught his first beehive. So that was still there and still standing. So
everything was pretty much the same, ish. Except for two new, there was new people in the valley.
There was a feedlot next door.
Yeah, the farm that
at the bottom.
Dad had, he talked about this guy who raised cows down the street. And he raised his cows, but I think he died and he left it to his sons or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And passing that, Dad was like, that's not how it was. Mm-hmm. It was now a CAFO, confined animal.
Do we ever find the beekeepers that helped them or not?
No. Oh.
We went to who's the family we met.
The Hutchinsons?
No, the son that helped Dad.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we ever...
Charlie took us to...
No, we didn't find him.
No, don't remember the name, but that was the lady that used to take care of me.
He used to run the... Yeah, she would babysit?
She would babysit, but she knitted me, or crocheted me, the booties, and the one that I'm taking picture with. Yeah.
And then her son died, but... Her son died, and... The son that helped, the story goes that the son was in the hardware store.
Yeah.
His local hardware store, and this American guy would show up and ask him how to do, rebuild, fix. So he bought his first chainsaw and helped to re-roof the butcher shop. So it was fun. They were rehashing old stories.
Yeah.
And then we got to go to... the Order of Greece.
Oh, with the film?
Israel.
Greece, Israel, India, Italy, New Zealand.
The film went other places. But
yeah, but we went. We actually were invited to Slovakia, Russia, Egypt.
South America somewhere.
South Africa. So the film, we actually, as filmmakers, we got invite to those places. But We did go to Italy, India, Israel, Greece, and New Zealand. And that was from the years 2009, 2010, I think. Mm-hmm. And we were so close to going to Slovakia. We got the prize of the mayor in Slovakia.
Yeah. Russia, too.
Russia. We were going to Russia. It was too late to get a visa. it was a huge way to get a visa. We're like, yeah, let's not do that. So,
I know a lot of people are going to have, questions, because we get so many emails with questions and things about how we grow. One of the questions was, I posted a picture of the garden, and the woman I wrote, she was, how do you not have any weeds? The backyard, it doesn't, surprisingly, except for stinging nettle, really doesn't have...
Technically not a weed.
There is not a weed in the raised beds. I mean, we're not talking about because of volunteers. We have the
depends on what a weed is. I mean, we have amaranth everywhere, but we don't consider it a weed. So,
but there's a couple, we have one or two spots that have issues with the... One idea we had was, there was some wandering Jew. Mm-hmm. We were going to put it in a salad mix. So mm-hmm. We let it grow and we cut it in salad. And then that sort of reseeded itself. Technically, it's edible, but it sort of took over one bed. So I've been trying to rein that one in. But the reason there's no weeds is because everything's planted so close together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have existing or open dirt, which one reason you were talking about mulch for
mm-hmm.
French people is dirt. Empty dirt, something's going to grow, and if you have empty dirt, most likely is weeds. So where that's the square inch gardening, there is very little, only when they're young, but once they touch, mm-hmm. there's no light for them to grow.
Yeah,
so that's why one reason why we don't have many weeds is thing. And then the ones that do grow, we let grow a little bit. There's sunflowers volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
That is thing that the purple goose, it's all volunteer.
Yeah, it's all volunteer. And the problem is, people say, write us, can we volunteer? We want to, we'll do anything, even weed. And I'm like, well, there's no weeds. Yeah. So
it's occasionally weeds.
We have
occasionally, but it's not like we, pull one or two weeds, you're done in
one. We actually have to educate them, exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot of volunteers that most people would consider. A lot of volunteers that most people would consider weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just plants. Basically, weeds are plants growing where you don't want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's technically a classification. But our, the stuff that's growing, New Zealand spinach, purple goosefoot, amaranth, sunflowers,
mm-hmm.
stinging nettle,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff can be used.
Yeah.
And edibles.
A couple of months. Was it two summers? We did have a bunch of volunteers.
The homestead helpers.
Yeah, so it was mostly cleaning.
Or building.
Clean the buckets. Or building.
Planting wheatgrass.
Well, there was cleaning. Cleaning was a majority of it. Then we would do something fun like make the meads or...
Soil blocks.
You know, so we try to balance because a lot of the work was needed help cleaning. We did have this... I don't know, did we talk about him already?
The Brazilian guy.
Yeah, he was really one of our great helpers.
Yeah, but, and you got to throw up about seeing us on Brazilian TV.
Yeah. He was actually here when the Brazilian TV.
Yeah, he was, so that was pretty weird.
We volunteers, cleaning and organizing. One day we'll be organized, but I think that might be one of those things that you'll never achieve. It's constant.
As I said, Sunday was shiny buckets. It's like clean the buckets, deep clean.
Once you think you got everything under control, everything else has to be cleaned up. So it's just a constant spinning around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's there has to be a Zen moment where you realize you're not going to get everything done. I saw a meme go around and says, just when you think. Well, if you think you have control of your life, start a farm or something. And I think that was a meme that went around. Yeah, I saved it somewhere.
I'm going to put up there.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny because that's about true. You think, I need my schedule down. And it's like, start a farm. It's like, something's going to happen.
But you have to also turn over the garden to summer stuff. So that's a little bit more. Once it's planted, then it's... you don't have to do any, well, just water and pick for 2 or 3 months, but the transferring over from the salad greens to the summer veggies.
And you transfer, we don't try to do a huge crop rotation, but I think what Dad did different was he chopped the greens into the bed, right? Is that something that...
We do that. I cut it down, give it to animals, and then what's left, we turn it over. It's old-fashioned composting.
Yeah, he always believed in returning to the soil what came from the soil.
It's not much, but it does help. So we were planting cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, squash, eggplant. I haven't gotten around to the beans yet. Beans. Yeah, pole beans, bush beans, lima beans. Yeah, that... I don't know. The lima beans haven't come up yet. But I have Christmas
and
limas.
And Tramesino squash.
Oh, Tramesino squash. Italian squash. So that was what we grow for the summer, fall harvest. Transferring all the things from the salad. We talked about the Bagrata bugs that get
you
us out of the salad business.
You can't grow into the salad.
So we grow cucumbers that produce supposedly produce a lot, and the beans and peppers. Peppers and cucumbers we can grow. We can sell almost everything we grow on those. Eggplant, hit and miss. Some years people want them, some years people don't. Sometimes they like
peppers.
Peppers all the time. Mm-hmm. Last year I grew too many jalapenos, but this year I only have 6 instead of 24 plants.
He was growing it because he wanted Nisi to make...
She was supposed to make
jalapeno
jelly.
But we just got busy. But he actually grew that many because he wanted to do the hot peach jalapeno
jelly. I thought they would sell on the farm box, but they didn't sell.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of...
I just have 6 plants versus 36.
I think I saw a couple times on Facebook that people are fascinated with your soil blocks. They really think... You grow them that close. I think you might have to explain a little bit more about that.
We'll do a video.
They're like, how close you grow them?
It's a cookie cutter. It's a cut dirt into little squares, and then you take the squares and you plant them in the thing. So, no plastic. Well, some plastic, but less plastic. And that's how we grow thousands of the seeds. But, yeah, they just started out 2 inches apart. So it was like 55 by 10 in a little tray. And then we take that and transplant them 6 to 8 inches. Marley, 6 to 8 inches apart or 12 inches apart on some things. So although they're started in soil blocks 2 inches apart, they will eventually get transplanted into the ground farther apart. Sometimes if I don't have space in the ground, I'll pot them up into 4 inches. Tomatoes, peppers, and then if I don't have room still, I'll put it in a gallon, and then a 1 gallon pot, and then...
And if you don't have room still, there's lucky friends.
Yeah. And then I'll plant them in bigger pots, or I plant them in the garden. So.
Or the lucky friends.
Which are able to grow 2 things simultaneously, so that you're not... There's less of a gap. Because if you take everything out and plant 1 little bitty tomato, well, you can just pot it up and get up to big... With those ones out there 2 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So you can pop them in at 2 feet tall and able to grow the salad greens. But the salad greens just sort of kind of exploded because of the rainfall last week. So they got quite large. Right there.
Well, that brings to the weather where it's... everything is dependent on the weather. Because you can plant tomatoes now, but if we have what California has is that June gloom, then what happens with the tomatoes?
They get blight... then mildew on the cucumbers.
Need hot weather, so sometimes we'll get this June gloom and it will take out
the
crops.
The hot summer days with the cool desert nights create mildew issues. And there is, so far, we haven't found anything to control it. But there's baking soda, there's Serenade, there's all this stuff. Copper,
but it's not OMRI listed.
Copper's
right?
OMRI listed.
Oh, it is?
But it was the one, it held it off.
It does work. Copper
it does
work.
It did work. Copper did work. And then at one point, it's just.
It's expensive,
and then the plants got too old. So.
Yeah,
it does work. We sort of live with mildew. The people want to know what we do. it makes them feel good that we have mildew.
Well,
problems,
California is hot, like you said, and then it can dip at night and be cool. And that, like Justin
said. So one thing is don't get the leaves wet, but nature, if it's cold at night, they'll condense, and then that'll create things. So we don't water from the top.
Feet wet, head dry.
Yeah. So on the squash and the tomatoes and the cucumber, with the oils and stuff, we mm-hmm. use the bottom, but it still doesn't matter because the cold night. So we sort of live with mildew, at most part.
Did you get to the oils with the film crew? I know they specifically no. asked about that. Okay, so.
I didn't get to it.
So what I was going to ask you was, you know, like I said, one of the challenges was just getting caught up because of just circumstances, but if we got caught up, what was something that you like want to accomplish? Like, okay, so now I have time, or now I have thing, you know, what do you want to do? I know Justin wanted to revisit maybe
the fish
or yeah, stuff like that.
That's one that I think we talked a little bit about, what made the mistakes on fish farm. Mm-hmm. So next time do it in the greenhouse. Don't do glass tank. Mm-hmm. If I have a little bit of time and money, I might try it again. It did work. Mm-hmm. I just made a stupid mistake and cleaned out the fish tank, but I lost track of the fish, and one died in the holding tank. So then one fish sort of multiplied, bacteria multiplied and killed all the fish. It was...
But it worked great. I mean,
it worked great. The thing was, water was surprisingly cold. So we ended up putting in an aquarium heater. Then the electricity bill went up. And then, so it's better if you put it in a greenhouse. Tilapia needed warm water. You could do trout, which are like cold water, so you don't have to heat it. But they need pristine water. And then at the time, I couldn't find any organic fish feed.
Mm-hmm. So you started feeding the organic cat food.
It ended up being soy, corn, and they put food coloring in the fish feed.
Which
I couldn't
nuts.
Understand why you put food coloring in fish
food.
Because
they say
that
it's colored green and they'll eat it, right?
Red for or whatever. Red I don't know what it was.
Which
I had
makes no sense.
Food coloring things. So now, 5 or 10 years later, they actually have organic, soy-free fish feed that would work. And it's sort of, you're growing your own fish, and here you are feeding them.
Yeah, soy crap.
You know. It was. I was looking. I found a couple things, and I tried to do that. I forget that water, that green stuff that we grew that would feed it.
Oh, it was duckweed.
Duckweed. Mm-hmm. So we grew that. We feed it, and then we did some other things that was organic.
I think you did. Like you got had me get organic cat food for some reason.
Yeah, actually, the ingredients were similar. What was feeding the fish food was similar to cat food. So I was able to get organic cat food and sort of cheated a little bit and fed it to Think. Because the ingredients were Think,
but it
had organic and no food coloring and all that stuff. So, but it ended up costing about $1,000 system. We had a beautiful, Dad set up a beautiful system on
beautiful.
A timer. And, oh, people loved it, but made a couple mistakes in it. And it killed them all. Mm-hmm. So that was the most expensive fish fertilizer I ever did. Dug a hole and planted the old, that was $1,000 for 30 something fish. Yeah. Well, he learned how to redo it.
Learned how not to do.
Yeah, definitely learned how not to do it.
But they're probably new.
We'll do it again.
There's, like I said, there's organic
there's so
fish
much
feed
new
now.
Products now that it's like, even to the, where it's like our solar panels are somewhat outdated. I mean, solar panels aren't outdated, but. You know, 12 years
well,
in terms
half,
of...
Well, they're half their life.
Yeah, they're
so.
Half their life, and then there's new products. There's, you know, and we always wanted to do solar water heater.
But when we looked into it, it was kind of new technology, so it was kind of... It was experimental. Mm-hmm. Now they have... Did you tell me today, City of Pasadena?
The free gray water.
Free gray water system installation.
Ooh. Laundry to landscape. So it's only, you know, that.
Only from your washing
but
machine.
But still.
From your washing machine to.
Right.
It's 160 bucks.
From now, but from when we started?
Yeah, we haven't run it from the tub, but the
we
thing
have
is,
it on, yeah.
Yeah. gravity fed to the
top.
The
only problem is because our washing machine's on the wrong side and it goes right.
No, the pipe is there. I just have to cut the. I had to get a three-way.
But we have a tub gray water system.
The tub gray water system, mm-hmm. but the three-way. The pipe is there. Mm-hmm. I just have to cut it into the galvanized, put it three-way, and it'll pump out through that. That system. But
that's impressive for Pasadena now to offer that. So when we started, it was. I think I remember we called them and we said, yeah, what's your policy on gray water? And they were like,
Did you hear back from Marisha?
I think City Pasadena was closed, but I can call them again tomorrow. I left a message. We called them on there. We said, what's your policy on gray water? And they were like, we have no idea.
Do you want to explain
this story? So we did what and I think the only policy we try to keep by like the city environment was just have the gray water go, you know, not be on not be on surface, so we had to, you know, make sure it went underneath the ground.
It's under those four beds, but
Marley's snoring.
So. The old man snoring in the back is our dog who decided that he wants to sit on the lap and
he snores like
he snores like an old man. You walk in, you're like, who's okay? he sleeps hard. He lives hard.
It's a hard day.
Which this dog, he showed up. He's one of those ones that... Has it been 4 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marley, he loves everyone. He has a huge circle of friends. He showed up and never left. The story of this dog is Dad was working in the front yard around. It was an Easter
every
Sunday.
Every Sunday?
Yeah, it was around an Easter
Sunday. It was the Sunday before Easter Sunday, yeah. I think, yeah.
And this dog is a Bichon Frise, so they get really... They look... like a lamb, they're very curly and like a mop. And I'm in the house and I hear Dad yell, Jordy! I'm like, what? It's like, there's a dog! And he's got this big, this fluffy white dog in his thing, in his hand, in his arm. So generally, this dog.
What? That's the change.
Found his way down the street, saw Dad, and decided that.
He jumped in his arms.
There he is! And he ran to Dad and jumped in his arms. Dad was like, I'm not keeping this dog! And yeah, that lasted.
But 1 week.
We did try to find the owner.
I took him to the vet. I did all this. So I took him to a neighbor's house because...
It was Sunday.
It was Sunday. There was a lot going on. I'm like, I can't deal with the dog right now. I'm not going to put it back on the street. I'm not going to give any Humane Society. I'm going to try to... I mean, I'll tell them, but it's better if I watch over it.
We put a poster.
So I put him up to a neighbor's house who has like this little dog run on the side of her house. And I had this brilliant idea. This dog, which he was around 4 months old at the time. I put a collar, because I always have leashes and collars, and I put a collar and a leash on him, and I sit him on the porch of my neighbor's house, and I go, go home! You know, thinking maybe he'll go home, right? So I'm like, go home! You know, like really talking to him. So I put the leash on him. He's like, he perks up, he trots down the neighbor's stairs, goes down the sidewalk, takes a right, goes down the street, takes a right up the homestead's driveway, goes up the homestead stairs, hits open the door, and jumps on the sofa. And he looked at me, and I'm like, this isn't home. He's like, yeah, you think so? I'm like, this isn't home. This isn't home. And he had decided where his home was, and he was just waiting for us to realize it.
Was it before or after he walked around the block?
After that, I walked around the block, yeah, and that didn't work. After that, because I said, this isn't home. Okay, then I'm taking you around the block. I walked him a couple streets thinking that
he might recognize
a home. Mm-hmm. And then he just was waiting. He was smart. He was waiting for us to actually realize
but
that.
But then he's so exhausted, you carried him home. So that worked well.
I carried him home. Dad was like, he's still here?
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm done. I'll get animals, and I'm like, look at the puppy. Dad was like, oh, no. Next thing you know, he's on the floor. Hello, boobie. I never asked. It was just... Okay, he's home.
We tried to find a home for him, but Dad's qualifications were too...
Oh, right, I know. I said, I bought these people, I'm like, here's a... And Dad was like, no, they're not he's not going home with them. I'm like, really, Dad? Then another person, he's like, no, they're not going. And so it was kind of going through a little bit of a hard time at that time, so I actually sent him off property to be with another friend. I said, could you just watch him for the weekend? I got to work on some stuff. And Dad, he said, oh, so you got to find a home for the dog? I said, I think so. Maybe she's... talking to her relatives and stuff. He was like, okay. It didn't work out with the relatives. So my friend's like, can I bring him home? And I'm like, uh-oh. So I, all right. So I bring him home and I had him by the front door. Dad came home after some delivery. He walks and he goes, oh, he's back. And I'm like, okay. That was it. Never asked the question ever since.
Oh, no. He said, no, I think the thing was, go get him some food. Give him a toy.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to get him a toy? He needs a squeak toy.
He needs a squeak toy. We're like, oh, that's it.
I was like, okay, this is it. I question it. I'm buying him a squeak toy. And then he was dad's dog. They communicated in their own language.
Yeah, where is it?
Yeah.
Squeaky. Where is it? So mm-hmm. Dad would put the squeak toy behind his back. Squeak it and go, tweet tweet. Where is it?
Yeah. Marley had, every time Dad, I mean, we come home, he's all excited to see us, but when Dad came home, he would do this high pitch, mm-hmm. oh, like that, and he doesn't do it really much anymore. Mm-hmm. Every time Dad came home, it was like this high pitched, excited. He and Dad loved each other. And, has been having a hard time. You know, his tribe, his pack is
one less, and then it was two less with Dwayne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so his groomer says that he's insecure right now because his top dog is mm-hmm. not there. So he's been a little bit more of a baby as he's sitting there cuddling against Annie with his head on the shoulder and with a big
baby
lump of.
The older he gets,
the babier he is.
I once at a Hootenanny, somebody said, "Why do you have a Beverly Hills dog?" And I just looked at him and I just said, "Seriously?"
No, they asked, "How do you how did you curl?"
Oh, I get. I also get, "How do you get his hair curly like that?" Do you? And I'm like, "Say, Nicole, I barely fix my hair. You think I'm pin curling my dog's hair?"
It's not happening.
The good news, he doesn't shed. He's hyperallergenic, and he sleeps all day.
He's a lap dog.
Yeah. So his routine. He's got some issues, but lovable issues. Sorry.
That was Marley.
Sorry. No, it's Jordy over here falling asleep. No.
I thought it was for a second over here.
Sorry.
So we currently have three cats and a dog lives in the house, along with the other animals. All the cats have been
strays.
Yeah, there's a cat. Okay. Our latest cat was a rescue, and he was found in a cactus patch. He was a friend called and said, "I think there's a bird in the yard." So I'm like, she was. I can't tell what it is. So it's like, I told her to hold the cell phone out. And I hear it, I'm like, oh no, that's a baby kitten. Like baby kitten. So she picks me up and I go out there and I look in, I'm following this. And he's like really
screaming
loud for a little tiny little thing. So I find him. He's in a cactus patch. Like, it's a San Pedro cactus. And he was like right in the middle. And I'm like, okay, how did you get in there? I mean, where did you come from? So I did this little maneuver and yanked him out. And he's like wailing at the top of his lungs. And I looked at him because I've done so many cats in my life. I mean, cats and me have been crossing paths for a long time. And I looked at him and I said, "You're trouble." I just knew this one was trouble. He's the craziest cat I've ever had. He literally is a ninja cat.
Oh, that was.
So the we were trying to find a home for it.
But I brought it home.
The friend, Linda, puts it in stops off at a gift store. Stops off at a gift store.
At a drugstore.
Drugstore. Pick up a card and a basket. Bag.
A bag. And she puts,
it puts the cat in the bag and walks up to Niecy and says, "Happy birthday."
Niecy's face is like... Well, the card we found was a spit image of the cat I picked up. Oh, I was like, it was irresistible. It was no way.
It was a sign.
It was a sign, but he's the craziest cat I've ever had.
But he came at the good time, so... Mm-hmm. He's,
him and Marley get along.
Yeah, he bounces off walls, but with one crazy Monty, nickname for El Monty, but
The M&M boys,
And Marley's name because he is a curly little dog.
Oh, it was a bad day. What'd you guys do when I was gone? He was like,
he was just amped. But all our animals, they do have this like. I wouldn't say it's like bilingual, but they all understand each other. So like the chickens understand what the ducks, and Marley knows when the chickens are cackling that there's danger. It's kind of like they've learned each other's language. And
the goat would respond to when the chickens cackle, or if the goat snorted in fear, the chickens would like, what's going on? So it was a tribe. It was a, you know, one great, happy...
Dysfunctional
family. The forest cat, like in 2000, I lost her Thanksgiving.
Last year.
15 years.
She died in my
16
arms.
16 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when I found her, she was a mangy little cat that was in bad shape, and so we picked her up. And
she was under the house next door.
Yes, and what we did was live trapped her because she was kind of on the older side, so we live trapped and then tame. She took a chunk out of my neighbor's hand, ripped up my neighbor, but I came home, reached in there, and she's like, prr, prr. My neighbor was like, what did you do? I was like, I don't know. And just reached in there, picked her up, and she's like, hi, I love you. And she was my baby.
We threw her in with the chicken.
Yeah, so I didn't have a place to put her, so I put her in the chicken coop, and she decided that she was a chicken. So she started eating corn on the cob with the chicken. There's some photographs of her just
hanging
with the chickens and eating chicken food, and... She thought she was a chicken. She copycatted because she didn't really have a social structure at that time. But then she became my baby, and she was older than I thought she was, and she was pregnant and insisted on having no kittens in my lap. And stray cat. I was like, "Here's your bed." She's like, "No," and she wanted it in my lap. And then I had to examine every single one that came out. I had to, you know, and I'd like, "It's good." You know, I actually had to praise this cat. Yeah. And then she'd like, okay, and then she'd have another one. I mean, she just would not settle down until I picked up the kitten. I was like, wow, you know, great job, you know. She was a very talkative little cat, and she had to...
She liked her routine. She liked her stuff. She was very...
Yeah, so when I lost her in December and Thanksgiving, it was a little hard. It was kind of like...
It was on Thanksgiving.
She was my... It was old age, and I mean, I didn't have to put her down, which I'm thankful for. And she lived a good life and just got really tired, like...
It just overnight. Happened in, overnight.
Like, overnight. I looked at her and I said, okay, something's wrong, and spent the day with her, and then Annie's and I stayed up with her on pretty much all Thanksgiving night.
Mm-hmm. She just went to sleep.
Yeah, she went to sleep, and it's never easy, but I'm learning to, at least in some ways, I won't claim to, but I learned to appreciate the way animals die. Mm-hmm. You actually start, and that's why I say you don't know much about an animal until you're at the beginning and the end of an animal, and it's the hardest thing to do, to sit there and watch and hold an animal as it passes. But part of you appreciates how the animal dies, and if you have to, then you know, it must be a good way to go.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, to be loved at mm-hmm. the very end and yeah. held and not, you know, not fearful. Mm-hmm. And I kind of worried because I didn't want to take her in to put her down because...
Oh, that would have traumatized her.
It would have traumatized her, so I did sort of say, well, you know, I wish you would go here in my arms. And because she hated the vet so much, I couldn't do that to her. And I was actually looking at a whole visit.
16, 17 years
mm-hmm.
old.
Mm-hmm. But, which brings me to Bella, who's still kicking, which, by the way, I'm...
Oh, you chicken? Yeah, did you slay that story?
Yeah, we told her.
Yeah, we told her, but I'm just saying, with the film crew today.
What'd she do?
I pull out Bella, and it's like, hey, girly. So, and they're like, how old is she? And I'm like, 11.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
She's
still cooking. And, then we'll have to do the, check the chicken's legs. One of them's limping, so check that one out.
Yeah, I have to put some oil on it. She's got a little bit of scaly leg in there. Mm-hmm. And it happens when it's a wet season.
Yeah, this was
really wet season. There were some areas of the yard that did dry out. It kind of breeds the mm-hmm. scaly leg mite, which is fine. And
we'll just put oil on
some oil and a little bit of grapefruit seed extract.
Or eucalyptus
oil. And you just get, like, massage it into her skin. And it'll heal it up. What it is, she's limping because it feels a little irritated. And that will, you know, clear up pretty fast. It's just, it happens when the weather gets really in spikes. And as you raise animals on the same property every year, it tends to have, like, you have to watch more for mites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we technically I should do DE then, diatomaceous earth.
Yeah.
This weekend I should do that.
Take the dirt off.
Yeah, or diatomaceous earth is good. No, but it doesn't matter. It's also weather related, and... It's carried by.
No, I should do that. I should have done it on Sunday, mm-hmm. but I forgot. But this Sunday I should, or this coming week, should put some diatomaceous earth in it. Because like I said, we're going to spring, warmer weather, you know, from the influx, you know, from hot, cold, so. Because we still have May rain or June gloom still to go through.
So then next week you're supposed to go out to Gabriel, mm-hmm. and he still eats up with the chickens.
Okay, so
for his consultation. I sent him, am I doing that Sunday? I don't know.
Is she going to consult?
I should
on
just
chickens?
Do it another time.
He offered.
That Sunday?
No, it doesn't have to be that Sunday, but I'm saying if you're going out there or not.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought we'd make two trips in one.
That's up to you. So if you want to do that.
I don't know if I can do if they had to be there at noon and then do that.
Oh, okay, yeah, so we'll figure it out.
Oh, I don't know.
And then what else is coming up? Some guests on the podcast, and then some upcoming guests on the podcast, and then we should really maybe a workshop, do a workshop, and then, and then anything else you can think of? Maybe take some questions maybe next time, because we didn't have time to look at
it. We didn't read Dad's stuff.
Yeah.
And the cards that we got for Dad.
Someone is still thank people for that, so.
Do you want to end with one?
Yeah. You want
to? I don't know. Which one?
The one from India lady.
Did she write actually something about that?
I don't know.
I mean, she
sent a picture.
Yeah, but she didn't. It was. I don't think she knew. That's good. We'll just
read it. It was a short one.
We're just finding all our stuff because it's just. Everything's been put back. Wow, so still sirens are going off.
Yeah.
Must be a doozy.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll pick one. I know some of these are not full. We have, we also have Dwayne's Memorial coming up.
Oh, yeah, we have Dwayne's Memorial coming up too. All right, so we'll just,
do it next time?
Yeah, we'll do it next time, so, because we still have stuff to go through. So, but, thanks again for joining and tuning in, and, we'll talk to you again next time.
Let's go down to the urban homestead, Pasadena by the freeway. Right down there on the urban homestead, Jules and his family are working away. Come on down to the farm in the city, back to the future, back to the plan. Right down there on the urban homestead, loving the life back into the land.
Oh, ooh, ooh, help the garden grow.
Singing,
oh, ooh, ooh,
we've got to help the garden grow.
The Urban Homestead theme song was written and recorded by Tom Fair. Thanks, Tom.
We've come to the end of this show.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Be sure to tune in again. Until next time, this is Annie's
Justin,
Jordan. Keep on growing.
Oh, 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 help the garden grow.
Sing it.